You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. 2020 and 2021 has been a strange year for many industries, more so in the advertising industry. Remember that old adage that says for every dollar that goes into advertising, about 90 cents goes to either Google or Facebook. So what does it mean with the rest of the media agency business? And of course, how does the media agency or the advertising industry is going to shape up in the years to come? Because of this, we have with us Group M, one of the world's largest advertising agencies there is. And of course, the forecast that they presented this year, next year forecast, shows quite an interesting rate when it comes to recovery for the advertising industry. Joining us for this evening are two speakers from Group M. One is Chanchal Chakrabarty, the Group M Malaysia CEO, as well as Brian Weiser, the Group M Global President for Business Intelligence. How are you, gentlemen?
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Brian, of course, joins us from the US. Chanchal is here joining me in Malaysia. So we've looked at Group M's this year, next year forecast, which shows faster expansion in the advertising industry than previously thought. This is, of course, driven primarily in growth in the UK, US and China. Could you give us a little bit of a top level overview of how the industry performed in 2021? Perhaps give us some updates or some outlook into what you think this year is going to be shaping up for this industry.
Sure. Well, the global industry had a fantastic 2021. Better than 20% growth globally, probably unprecedented ever in history at a global level. And it wasn't just China, the US, the UK. It was almost every market on earth grew by double digits. It was a very, very healthy advertising economy. And it wasn't just that we had an easy comparable, the weak year of 2020 with the pandemic. It was the fact that there's so much growth, there's so many new businesses that are evolving and forming, maybe because of the pandemic. But the level of growth we're seeing is really something new and just never been seen before.
Chanchal, what about you?
It's very interesting, you know, because as we all know, Malaysia didn't really come out of the pandemic in 2021, right? We had quite a longish lockdown as well in 2021. So obviously, we didn't do as well as the rest of the world. But what is interesting is that Malaysian advertising spends have been stagnant for the longest time. You know, last about 5-6 years, it has been stagnant. And last year, 2020, sorry, before last, 2020, it obviously across the globe, similarly in Malaysia, dropped massively to about by 18%. It dropped. So we were all hoping or expecting it to recover, but then the lockdowns happened. But interestingly, just with the last quarter push, we almost managed to come back to the 2019 levels, very close to the 2019 levels, which is extremely encouraging, I would say.
So what are some of the key factors that is causing this faster than anticipated growth?
Well, at a global level, I guess there's three things that I've been pointing to. The first is you have Chinese manufacturers who are advertising abroad and bringing new forms of growth to advertising markets in different countries around the world. It's hard to say how much of a factor that is in any one country. We do know that Facebook, for example, is generating maybe $10 billion USD of revenue from China, despite having no consumer-facing presence there. We know that Amazon, in its marketplaces, probably is seeing 40% of its marketplace vendors are from China. So that's one factor that's probably contributing to a lot of the growth out there. Second factor, there's a lot of small businesses being formed. One of the upsides of the pandemic is that a lot of people, maybe they resigned from wherever they've worked, the great resignation, and they decided to form their own business. And they're probably advertising and maybe at higher levels than the businesses that came before them. The third factor is one of the consequences of the pandemic is really, really low interest rates and cost of capital globally. It means that if you want to raise $1 billion to go and fund a new enterprise, you can do it today in a way that maybe wasn't as easy years ago. And a lot of that money gets plowed into advertising. These are factors that are probably benefiting some markets more than others. Again, China, the US, the UK, and many other countries as well. Certainly parts of Southeast Asia are seeing this. But that's probably the main thing we'd point to as driving this extra growth.
Let's give some Malaysian color on this. Chanchal, is this happening in Malaysia the way it does globally?
I wouldn't say similar, but of course there were certain similarities. For example, e-commerce boom happened, right? Huge number of advertisers went on to, and not just advertisers, in fact, businesses went on to the e-commerce platform. So prior to the pandemic, there were many manufacturers or businesses who were fence-sitting, right? They were not yet sure whether they should move to e-commerce or not. And they were not ready in terms of the technology as well as their what is required for them to be on the e-commerce platforms. But pandemic sort of forced many to having no choice but to move on to the e-commerce platform. And that, as Brian mentioned, really grew e-commerce massively and also supported lots of businesses to sustain. I mean, many businesses, as we know, right, delivery businesses, as well as similarly F&B businesses and stuff like that. During lockdown, many of them survived because they moved onto the e-commerce platform. Similarly, not just F&B, many smaller players and SMEs could sustain. I mean, we could have had a much larger drop in SMEs. I mean, SMEs going out of the market during this long pandemic-led suppression. But because of e-commerce, many could really sustain themselves. And now that has become a very critical element of their business. And then same goes to the larger advertisers as well. You know, larger advertisers like big FMCGs and all were very FMCG, I mean, especially FMCGs were very mass media led. They also moved a lot onto e-commerce. So e-commerce from a perspective of a channel, I would say, right? Because they were very brick and mortar focused. They moved their business and therefore the advertising which leads to e-commerce. And that really grew e-commerce by a lot, even though other platforms were declining. But in 2021, actually, interestingly so, television came back, you know. We all know that during the pandemic, television viewership had gone up, but the spends hadn't in 2020. But in 2021, television came back as well, and it showed pretty significant growth, which we had not seen in television for the last many years. Yeah, so I think these two factors would be pretty significant in Malaysia. Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Group M. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me media agency Group M, Chanchal Chakrabarty, Group M Malaysia CEO, joining us here in Kuala Lumpur, as well as Brian Weiser, the Group M Global President of Business Intelligence, joining us from the US. Let's move on to the other stories of advertising right now, because media habits have indeed changed in terms of how people consume media. And of course, with video consumption going through the roof and more consumers are indeed shopping online or getting more comfortable shopping online. Cinema and out-of-home advertising seems to be suffering in the short term. Are we going to see a change taking place this year? And do you feel that markets are going to be rebound as borders gradually reopen and more people are coming back to normal following the pre-pandemic days?
So, see, I mean, advertising is something which is very consumer out, right? So, spend what we want clients to spend at would always depend on how the consumer trends are, right? And as we were talking just a bit back, obviously the spend pattern has stuff transformed, right? As I said, e-commerce is becoming big and therefore any platform which leads to e-commerce has become important. Digital has been growing massively over the last many years. In fact, 2020 was a slight decline, about 1+%. But 2021 showed a massive growth, right? So it was more than 30% growth in Malaysia itself, right? And as Brian was saying, I mean, Facebook even delivered massive revenues out of China, which where they don't even are present. But in Malaysia specifically, I think digital would continue to be a very critical platform for advertising. And because with finite spends in the market, because as the economy recovers, people are becoming, or clients are becoming more conscious about the measurability of the platforms. Therefore, the focus would be on platforms which can be measured more real time or realistically. So, for example, TV would be definitely there because TV can be measured and it has a currency which has been there for ages, which has a direct correlation for marketeers as well from a business perspective. And digital will continue to grow is what we see. So these two platforms will definitely be there. But one platform which we clearly see on growth path is digital out of home, right? Which is also part of the digital ecosystem, but digital out of home is very clearly showing a significant growth. So that definitely would be a very critical element for advertisers as well, because increasingly digital out of home, even though overall out of home industry is very unorganized and not measured, but digital out of home is one space which is now getting into more and more measurement. And in fact, GroupM has already started projects or other campaigns with clients with proper measurement, and not just any measurement, but which is even blockchain verified, you know, so that kind of measurement we are doing in Malaysia. And moving forward, we are launching our programmatic out of home, digital out of home product called Sightline, which provides immense measurement capability as well. So that platform is very clearly we see on growth path as well. The other platform, relatively speaking, would be cinema, not so much because of anything else, but it was completely whitewashed, right? It had no presence in the last couple of years, and therefore it would come back, but it is only selectively, because as we know, still the audience in cinema is limited, but it will come back as compared to the previous 2 years. So primarily speaking, if we say spend advice to clients, it would still remain on top platforms like digital and television, followed by, as I said, which is also part of the digital ecosystem, digital out of home.
What about you, Brian? Can you share us a little bit on the global landscape vis-a-vis what Chanchal just shared for the local market here in Malaysia?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of opportunity with out-of-home advertising and with cinema as well. Now, with cinema, I think a problem in many markets around the world is that movie studios will not release anywhere near as many films into theaters as they used to. And so that's going to depress the relative opportunity for cinema, at least in English language cinema around the world. So that won't impact every market in the same way, of course. But with that said, cinema can be very impactful, just like digital out of home, and out of home can be impactful, and audio can be really impactful. The bigger issue to keep in mind is most marketers really seem to focus on television and digital advertising. Around the world, the largest brands tend to spend maybe 90% of their advertising on those two channels. I would argue that not enough marketers are looking at the world of media and marketing as holistically as they should. In other words, they are focusing on a specific medium and trying to make the most of the spending inside of that medium. They're really good at optimizing inside of a medium, but they're less good at optimizing across marketing and communications channels, let alone optimizing across their creative, their brand building efforts, their events, all of those things, optimizing with their media. Marketers are not as holistic as they need to be. And that is probably the single most important thing that I would focus any marketer asking this question. The other thing I would point to, when we think about years ahead, and remember, a marketer asking an opinion today in a global market realistically can't make a change for maybe 12 or 18 months at earliest, because they need to get a lot of buy-in. They need to get all of their colleagues around the world to support whatever the direction of changes that they want to make. And so when we think about these longer time horizon issues that might be multiple years out, a big issue is that television, ad support television, although Ibrahim, you do have a job this year and probably next year, with every passing year, television is facing really significant challenges in most countries on earth, because we don't have enough investment from the free-to-air broadcasters or their pay TV equivalents into ad-supported television. All of the focus, certainly from the Americans, and the American studio owners, is into their streaming services, which will be ad-free or ad-light. And that means that consumers are going to be more and more used to fewer and fewer ads. It will be harder and harder to accomplish the goals that marketers have with television because you have these deep-pocketed companies who tend to be American. By the way, they don't need to be American. It's just they're the only ones who put the money up. I like to point to South Korea, where Netflix spent $500 million on South Korean content last year. The three biggest broadcasters and SK Telecom together have a budget for their streaming service of $500 million for the next 3 years. That's not competitive. And if they want to be competitive, they need to invest more in content, and they can keep advertising as part of the model. Amazon, Netflix, Disney basically won't have advertising as part of their business models in the future. So that's going to be a thing to consider. Marketers in that world have to think about television as a diminishing share of their overall budget. They have to think about events and sports and music and culture and other ways to engage with consumers as part of a holistic way to build brands.
Just to okay. build on what Brian said, Ibrahim, if I may, I think in Malaysia specifically, we are already seeing these sort of movements, right? So we have already seen OTT growing rapidly, right? And thankfully, unlike Netflix and Disney that Brian mentioned, which doesn't allow advertising, we still have very popular OTT platforms like Viu and iQIYI and all, which are allowing advertising. Therefore, a lot of advertising is now also moving into those platforms. And as you would know, Ibrahim, that Astro is also sort of transforming itself and much ahead of the curve from the industry as well, right? With launching the addressable TV and also creating or rather bundling all the OTT platforms as a carrier, right? So that would help definitely Astro in transforming from what TV is facing as a negative to continuing to grow, right? And in fact, Group M is one of the key partners of Astro in the addressable space as well. As they embark on the addressable space, we are also coming with our own addressable TV product, which is called Finecast, in partnership with Astro. And that would, we are very confident that would take the television as a product at growth path, because what it simply put, what it would provide is it would give opportunity for TV advertising to be specific to audience, right? And when I say audience, it means if in a household there are four people watching a program on different platforms, Finecast or addressable product can help advertisers communicate to them on individual basis. So if they are watching on four platforms and one is a 15-year-old, another is a 40-year-old, and so on and so forth, we can customize communication to them. So it is almost making, which was lacking of TV as compared to digital, right? The sharp targeting of individuals as well. So these kind of products will basically transform the television landscape, and hopefully it will continue on its growth path that we have seen in the last couple of years.
Of course, Group M does believe in making advertising a little bit better. Could you share a little bit more about what the initiatives are taking place when it comes to improving customer awareness, better options for consumers to choose from, and perhaps think about ways on how to improve advertising per se?
Yeah, well, maybe just at a global level and to generalize, certainly television consumption has been stable in most markets. I think we did go through that spike, as we mentioned earlier in the pandemic, where there was a lot of extra viewing when people were stuck at home. And I think that it would be really interesting to look at cities around the world that go into restrictions or lockdowns, or when schools get shut in a given city or whatever, if you do see a spike. But the longer term trend is definitely not growth for consumption. I would argue, and this is not well studied, but I would argue that this is because as streaming services are investing in higher and higher quality programming, consumers are spending less time with the television on as background. Unfortunately, a lot of television consumption in many countries is just, it's like radio, it's audio, it's background, it's just there. And maybe consumers weren't always paying attention to it. But with the quality of programming that the streaming services have provided, you were watching television way more intentionally than you ever did before. So that's a big difference. And it's hard to get that out of the data that we can see from the measurement services around the world. But I believe that's what's happening. So you have a large number. It's still the most impactful, most important medium by far. Digital certainly accounts for a growing share of time. Unfortunately, it's really difficult to track that data with a high degree of confidence because different measurement services include different things around the world. Some include mobile devices, some don't. Some have good panels, some have bad panels. To be truthful, we really don't know. We can say that digital platforms are clearly important and impactful, but keep in mind with a search, if search is really good, you should spend less time, not more time with it. We know search is impactful. So that's clearly retaining its role in a consumer's media diet. E-commerce clearly growing in all things around e-commerce. And that extends to include social platforms. Social platforms are increasingly important as tools to connect consumers with e-commerce. Those are some of the trends I would point to. To say that print is declining is pretty, I think, self-evident. Audio holds up reasonably well. There's lots of new genres inside of audio, like podcasting, if we want to call that audio, or the streaming services like Spotify and others around the world. That's clearly growing as well.
So on in Malaysia perspective, I mean, Ibrahim, you were spot on saying that video consumption has grown, right, has been growing. And obviously, one of the reasons potentially why digital out of home has grown is also because it is part of the video ecosystem as well, right? However, e-commerce, I mean, it's a very interesting observation that we saw. While e-commerce boomed, right, during this period, we are sort of seeing some kind of rationalization as the economies are opening up, right? So people have been locked in, right, for months. And as the economies are opening up, they're moving to more brick and mortar. So we were having conversation with one of our clients, and interestingly, they said that, and we also got it from the overall market, that this year, Double 11, which is the huge event, didn't do as well in Malaysia. Because that's the time when economy opened up, brick and mortar stores opened up, and there were many advertisers who didn't see the expected results out of Double 11, and in turn saw a pretty significant growth from their brick and mortar stores. So this is one area which is very interesting, and I don't know how long it will sustain. I'm pretty confident that people have moved to the habit of e-commerce purchase, so they will continue to do that, but it would not potentially be as high as it was when the lockdown was there, right? Because people would now balance it out, they will still go to the brick and mortar stores and get a sense of the product while they're purchasing. So it would be a mix of the two. Social, in commerce also, it won't be just a straightforward e-commerce, but it'll be a lot of other stuff, like it's social commerce, as we call it now, entertainment commerce, because with influencers coming in loads, or rather hordes, that would also sort of continue to evolve. The e-commerce landscape will continue to evolve, right?
Of course, Group M does believe in making advertising a little bit better. Could you share a little bit more about what the initiatives are taking place when it comes to improving customer awareness, better options for consumers to choose from, and perhaps think about ways on how to improve advertising per se?
Yeah, well, I mean, at a global level, we think it's really important that a brand makes sure that where it's deploying money is consistent with the values that the brand has, whatever those values are or are not. And where there is a stand that a brand has, it believes in making society better, they better make sure that their media partners share that goal too. And so we can help facilitate that wherever we can. And in many cases, you know, not every brand necessarily cares about everything, and that's okay too. But where we have brands that believe that they want to be seen to be doing good on certain dimensions, we want to help them. And that may help, that may include things like finding the media owners that are themselves trying to take carbon neutrality. Obviously, we've made our own pledges as WPP in that direction. A brand who wants to do that may want to get there sooner. We've got a calculator that helps figure out how to make sure that your media spending is actually carbon neutral. So that's a good example of ways that we try to make advertising better.
If I may just add quickly one area. So those were the days when, say, for example, Astro and all had their celebrities as the key influencers, right, which were helping brands. Nowadays, we know that there is a huge number of influencers, micro, nano, everyone is becoming an influencer, right? And that has given rise to potential brand safety issues. Advertisers want to use them, but there's huge brand safety issues. And we as Group M, with our responsibility in that space, are also, therefore, we have brought to market an influencer tech, which helps us to sort of clean that up. You know, we can identify which are the influencers who are who have bots or fraud traffic and fraud followers and all, and therefore we can clean that up. That's part of our responsibility of ensuring the brand safety for the advertisers and as well as for the consumers to get the right message from the right influencers.
Thank you very much to both. That was Chanchal Chakrabarty, the Group M Malaysia CEO. And earlier on, you heard from Brian Weiser, Group M Global President, Business Intelligence. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad. You can also look for Group M there as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.